we're on our own. It's just regular people like us. It's moms and dads, and we don't have money behind us or anybody. It's really just us. We sell t-shirts so we can have picnics and stuff. Like, that's really, it's that, like, homemade. But it works.
It's grassroots, and I'm proud of that. Very proud. Yeah. This is grassroots.
It is.
So, and we're going to continue to win with the grassroots. Hi, you're listening to We Are Reopen Bucks. In this series, we sit down with some of the key players in the reopen movement and discuss their experiences navigating the pandemic. Today, I'm here with Carl Fish, owner of Park Club Fitness and Wellness Center in Perkasie. Carl's been a consistent advocate for freedom since the beginning of the pandemic, including his involvement in a pretty wild story that we're going to talk about today. So welcome, Carl. Thanks for coming on.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
I've been looking forward to doing this episode with you for a while now because in a lot of ways, you and the story you're going to tell today kind of predate, definitely Reopen Bucks, but I'd say predate the Reopen movement and people thinking that, hey, I need to stand up and fight for my freedom. So to get there, let's start by going all the way back to the very beginning, March of 2020. Whole world is shutting down. Oh no, COVID. White House shuts down the country. Governor Wolf shuts down Pennsylvania. We're under, you know, this what essential businesses only stuff. What happened with you? And at the time, your gym was called Snap Fitness, correct?
Correct.
Here in Perkasie. So in March, had you shut down?
No. And the way that things progressed, it first started off as a recommendation from Wolf. It's like, hey, everybody should shut down, so on and so forth.
Right.
And then they went through and a lot of the gyms did close their doors. And so I had people that would come to us and say, hey, I heard that you guys are still open, so let me come and just do like a month, anything like that. And I was like, yeah, fine, come on in and we'll go through and let you work out in the club. That went from that recommendation to then going through and saying, well, now we have a mandate and we're going to put this mandate in place. But then there was some issue with that he wasn't able to put the mandate through. So there was like another week or something like that was in there. And finally, by like Monday morning, I think it was like Monday morning at 8 a.m., they went through and said, oh, now the mandate's in place. Everybody has to shut down unless you're an essential worker. And we went through and said, well, fitness is essential. I mean, you need to have fitness. And I have some of my members who were going through physical therapy and things like that. So when we got to that point, we went through and said, all right, well, we'll go ahead and we'll close our doors. And we weren't taking phone calls or anything like that at that point. Because at that point, the thought was, well, these other fitness centers are abiding by what they believe they should abide by. And it just felt like if we took in new members at that point, then we're kind of taking advantage of the situation, which we didn't want to do. We weren't answering phone calls or anything like that at that point. And I think you had been one of the ones who had actually called us and said, hey, what's going on with your club? And of course, we didn't answer because we just weren't taking any phone calls at the time. And if we back up just a little bit on that as well, when they went through and said that we're recommending that you close your businesses, Prince Law had put a blog post out there saying, hey, they're not allowed to do this. This is unconstitutional, so on and so forth. We actually printed that out and we handed that out to our members and everything so that they knew that that was there. And we left those sitting on the front desk so people could take them. We also went through and posted one of them on our front door so that people would know. And it was interesting because I had one of my members say, did you see this post? And it was one of the Perkasie or Penridge Facebook groups that was out there. I was like, no, I didn't see it. So this person went through and said, yeah, they're letting people in there and they posted their manifesto on their front door. And I'm thinking, it's like manifesto. It's a blog post from a lawyer. And it's weird because people will go through and just try to choose like their words very specifically. It's manifesto. Yep. It's just associated with
already trying to paint you in a certain way. And
exactly.
All the listeners out there, this, the Prince Law Firm, that's Eric Winter, correct?
Right,
so
correct.
This is a person like at the very beginning putting that out, and then eventually he would really become a huge name in the whole movement.
Yeah, exactly. And that's how it really started because we put that up there. He wasn't my lawyer at that time. It was just I had seen that on another Facebook post and went in, downloaded that, and then put that out there. Once we got to the point that the mandate got put in place, then it was one of these oh crap kind of moments that it's like, okay, what are we allowed to do? What are we not allowed to do? So that's when I actually contacted his office so that that way, as we went through every step, it's like, hey, this is what's going on. What am I legally allowed to do? What I need advice on all of these so that that way we knew we were well within the law in every right. time that we went through it. And it was interesting because at different points of, well, it was actually afterwards, the regional police that were here went through and said, well, it looks like you got bad legal advice. It's like, and turns out in the end, it's like, no, we didn't have bad legal advice. You had bad legal advice.
Yep.
So, but sorry, I'm kind of zipping through everything there. So
no, that's perfect. So you've gotten to the point now where, okay, we are under the mandate to shut down essentially. You mentioned that you decided to close the doors to new members, mostly out of, it sounded like altruism to the other gyms. You didn't want to just snipe their members
exactly.
who would obviously come on over. So you closed doors like to new members, to people calling, but I'm presuming you allowed existing members to scan in and work out.
Yeah. And what we did is we sent an email out and just said, hey, if you want to come in and use the club, you can. Just be aware that we're going to take this time to go through and paint. And if you come in, treadmills may be out of place and things like that. So just be aware of that. And the response we got back was only probably about 15 members that went through and said, yeah, I want to come in and use the club. And during that time period, during the day, well, over a 24-hour time period, it was typically about 10 people who would come into the club and use the club. And what was interesting was during that time period, we had people that would call and complain that our club was letting people in. And it turns out, because we didn't know who it was at the time, but it turns out that it was the landscapers that the landlord was using who were calling the police and saying, hey, they're letting people in and out. And it was interesting because I always felt that we had a pretty good connection with the landscapers and things like that. And some of my members are like, I think it's the landscapers who are doing this. I'm like, no, it's not them.
It couldn't be.
Yeah.
Well, and you think about that. I mean, landscapers, they're presumably, if they're seeing that, they're out here to work. So they're working, but they have a problem with you working.
Yeah, exactly.
And people working out.
Yeah. And so they were under the belief that they were essential workers. So they're allowed to be out there. And it turns out, no, you weren't essential. Your boss may have told you were essential, but it turns out that you weren't. And the only way that we found out about it was that the one time one of my members walked out and this one landscaper chased him to his car and took pictures of his license plate and then started yelling at him that you're the reason that this virus is spreading, da 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 da. And he's like, go mind your own business. I'm the only one that's even in there at this point. And that was one of the things that was really weird because you have grocery stores and all of these other places, Walmarts, Home Depots, that there's tons of people that are all close to each other and everything else. And in our club, there's 10 people per day that are in there, but this is dangerous. And then you fast forward through everything and it turns out, I think the number is something like 80 or 85% of the people who are hospitalized are either obese or overweight. And it's like, looks like fitness was one of the things that you would want to be in there as well. So, but yeah, it was just interesting that it was the landscapers who had been calling the police and complaining about us.
And where was your landlord in all this? Because at that time, I mean, I assume if they're complaining like to quote unquote authorities, they probably were complaining to the landlord who was paying their bills. Was your landlord like supportive of what you're doing?
The landlord basically said, hey, we got calls from the police and we got calls from consumer protection and they're telling us that you guys need to shut down. And I just said, no, we're not shutting down. We're letting members that are in here come in and use the club, but we're not closing our doors. And they said, well, it's up to you. You're the one who has to deal with all the police and everything else. It's like, all right, it's all we need. So
they let it fly. So as this whole thing plays out and you start to bring in the players we're going to talk about a little bit here, consumer protection, Penn Ridge PD, Bucks County Department of Health, Did they go after the landlord at all in any of this? Was there pressure there for him to like cut your lease, things like that? Or was it just you?
Yeah, I don't know what the discussions were with them, but they did contact the landlord. And after they contacted the landlord basically said, hey, not our issue. Yeah. You go deal with Carl and he's the one that's going through this. So we're not going to tell him he has to shut his doors. He pays his rent. So
then you're running along in this fashion, presumably for some amount of time, maybe some weeks. And in early April is when we have this huge event where, and I'll just spoiler alert for everybody, the doors of your gym are chained shut by the health department, consumer protection, and the Penn Ridge PD. How did that all come about?
Yeah, so if we go back a little bit on that, when they went through telling us that we had, I mean, because we were getting phone calls from regional police, and of course we wouldn't answer the phone calls because I contacted my lawyer and said, hey, they're calling us. Do I have to return their phone call? What am I legally allowed to do? What do I have to do? And he said, well, you don't have to answer their phone calls at all. You don't have to open the doors for them. Because I told them, it's like they're coming to the front doors and pounding on the front doors. Now, what was interesting is they would do this like on a daily basis. You would have one or two police cars that would be parked, one looking at the front door, one looking at the back door to see if anybody's coming in. And for the people that were coming in, because it was such a small number of people that were coming in, I would come to the club and sit there and watch the doors and watch all my cameras on my iPad so that I could tell them, hey, there's no police around. You can go out the front door. Hey, there, the police are at the front door. Go out the back door. So that way, it almost felt like we were running a speakeasy.
Yeah,
it's like, yeah, it's like, this is just bizarre because we're not selling anything illegal. But it just had that feel about it. And I was putting in more hours a day than I normally would when we were just running as a regular business. Because when the members would come in, they could go through and they could see. It's like, are the cops around? If they were, well, then they would circle around and wait till the cops left and then go in and do their workout. It was just completely bizarre how all of that went through. But that was the time when they would go through, they would pound on the windows, they'd pound on the doors. And I told all the members, like, no, you don't have to let them in. They can pound as much as they want. And it was interesting because there were times that I would be sitting at home watching the cameras and I would see the police walk up to the door and start pounding on the doors. And it's like, there's nobody even in there to let you in or to even respond. And they would just sit out there. And I'm thinking to myself, is this really what we're paying them to do, is just sit outside the doors here? Isn't there something else for them to do?
Yeah, I mean, never mind. There's regular crime actually happening. Like, the world is still spinning, but they just seem to, it seems to me like they kind of fixated a little bit on, you know, you were being rogue. You were doing something that, I don't know, insulted their sense of power or whatever. And so they had to rein in on you.
Yeah, and there was one instance that the one officer, because we have our fitness center and we have our studio. So the studio is where we do all of our small group training. So the one time early on, this was, I think, like the Tuesday after they had formally put out the mandate out there, one of my instructors was in here with two of my members on the bikes, just going through. And he came up to the back window and just starts pounding on the glass window. And the instructor's just like, what's going on? Now, the thing is, she knew who he was because she had worked with him on something years before that. Mm-hmm. And so she opens the door. He has no mask on or anything like that. And he's standing only 2 feet away from her. And he's yelling and screaming. And she said, spittle is just like flying out of his mouth onto her. And she's just like, wait a second, you're going through and having this meltdown of that we're in here three of us all together in a space that's 2,500 square feet, you're having a meltdown over this and you have no mask on and you're getting all of your germs all over me. And she said that she had to tell him to back up, that he was one, without a mask, and two, not 6 feet away, and he's getting his germs all over her. So it's just the hypocrisy that would just go on through all this. And of course, we saw this continue through, but just at the very beginning, all the hypocrisy that was on there was just, it's like, wait a second, you guys are saying, here's all of these rules we want you to follow, but we're not going to do these anytime that we're encountering you.
And it really speaks to, again, what I think what I alluded to earlier is maybe they were fixating. It's like in the hysteria of the moment, that like March and April of 2020, they lost all semblance of like, you don't bang on the door and then yell at a person who opened, like, you're a police officer, right? Isn't there a way to handle this in a reasonable manner? If you want to, you know, write a citation or haul someone away, you go through steps. There's actual processes you follow to do these because we live in a civilized society. But what had happened to you, I mean, what you're saying already before we even get to the crazy part, it just sounds so uncivilized to me.
Yeah. And it just seemed like they were just trying to escalate things.
Right.
I mean, unfortunately, my instructors are all very level-headed. So they're just like, no, this... We're going to go through and do this. And it's like, no, you have to shut down. And of course, the people that are in there like, okay, that's fine. We'll just leave. And so, of course, they start getting yelled at. And they're like, okay, we'll comply. And then they all just left. And then at that point, my instructor is just like, well, no, we don't want to go through and do that because we just want to be in compliance with them. It's like, all right, that's fine. I mean, that's your choosing. So I'm not going to go through and say, no, you have to do this, blah, 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 blah. It's like, you make your choice for you, and then we'll run our business based on what you tell us you feel comfortable with.
So then how long was it between that and I still don't even understand the story fully when we get to the actual chaining of the gym. I mean, in the days before, was there a series of escalations? Were they coming out letting you know, hey, this is what's going to happen if you don't comply, blah, blah, blah?
Yeah, and it, so there were phone calls that they would make. They would make them to that one instructor that I mentioned because now they had her information. And so they were calling her, trying to get her to get me to call them because they would call me on my cell phone because they have my cell phone. They had the club's number and it would come up and I'm like, yeah, I'm not answering that phone call. They would call my brother and then my brother would talk to him. And I'm like, you don't have to talk to him. And he would be like, oh yeah, yeah, we'll take care of that. We'll do. I'm like, no, we're not going to. It just made no sense to go through and talk to him because you're not getting anywhere with him. Right. And it's funny because when they would leave voicemails, we're like, hey, there's no real issue or anything like that. We just want to talk to you, da 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 da.
So it's totally different tone.
Yeah, exactly. Once I had the person on the phone, it was like, we're going to come out. We're going to chain your doors. We're going to do this. And of course, when they're saying these things, I'm like, are they allowed to do that? So I'm on the phone with my lawyer. It's like, hey, they're threatening us with chaining our doors. Are they allowed to do that? But because we didn't answer, it's like, no. They're not allowed to do that. And then my lawyer went through and was like, well, let me make a couple of phone calls and see exactly what's going on. And so we had signs that Consumer Protection had put on our doors saying, hey, you have to close down within 24 hours. Give us a call, blah, 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 blah. And they would call us as well. And it's like, well, we're not calling them back either. So once they went through and started making their threats with chaining the doors and everything else, then my lawyer had gone through and called the lawyer for Consumer Protection. I think it was Consumer Protection. It may have been Department of Health. I don't remember. But he had spoke with a lawyer for that group. And he said, well, you know that this is illegal. You can't go through and chain their doors. And I may be mixing that up with when they actually put the note on the door. I don't remember exactly when that conversation took place. But then my lawyer went through and said, well, what is your justification for going through and saying that you're threatening to chain the doors? And they said, well, what we've seen is that we're doing this based on the Disease and Prevention Act of 1955. And my lawyer said, okay, but you realize that you have steps 1 through 8, with 8 being that you chain the business, you're not even at step number 1 yet, because step number 1 is somebody within the business having whatever this disease is.
Right.
And there's nobody even with the business that's come down with this. None of the members, none of the staff. So you're not even at step number 1 yet. So you have no justification for this. And their justification was, well, somebody in Perkasie has had this. So we're using as our justification.
So one person in an entire borough has COVID, so we now can make our own law.
Yeah, exactly. And they went, and my lawyer said, you don't even know if this person has even been within 5 miles of this club. So you can't use that as your justification. Well, that is what we're using as our justification. It's like, okay, well, now you know, even if you had step number 1, you have to go through step mm-hmm. number 2, step number 3. And these are all things with giving warnings, going through, and all these other steps that are involved with that before you actually go through step number 8, which is going through and chaining the doors. And that was one of the things that when you take a look at what's happened after all of this, the level of trust with those people that you've either elected or have been put in charge of all these different things, that trust has just gone completely mm-hmm. out the window. Because now these people who you understand are going to go through and follow through the law and go through all of these things, basically just go through and say, yeah, you know what? We're just going to throw the law out the window, and we're just going to do what we want to do, and we don't care if it's unlawful or anything like that. Because at a certain point, the courts were closed, so you couldn't even go through and challenge anything in court, which they also know. It's like, we can go through and we can do this.
So they like weaponized the closure of the courts.
Yeah.
Unbelievable. So then they got these warnings on your door. Hey, we're going to do this. They've explained to you why they think they have the authority to do it. Then it actually happens, right? So there are videos you put up in the group from your security footage camera showing when they came out. It was a couple of Pennridge PD officers. I think one guy from Consumer Protection, one guy from the Department of Health. And they just spend a minute throwing the chain on, and then they do their little elbow bump, right? Because, yep. you know, you can't shake hands. No way. You got to elbow bump like dorks. So what happens then? I mean, here's something crazy to add to the story. This is something I did not know until much, much later. Like when you joined Reopen Bucks, you were in the business at the time. You were in the gym when they locked the doors,
oh, yeah.
correct?
Yeah, because it was April 9th that they put the note on the door. And I went through because earlier that day, so that morning, everything was really starting to come to a boil. And I was on the phone with Eric, who's my lawyer. And he said, look, he said, right now, he said, they are threatening to get the attorney general involved. They're threatening all of these different things. Right now, you only have 10 people that are coming in and using your club. So you really have to look at all this and say, is this really worth it for these 10 people that you're doing this for? And understand that, and I'm not telling you which way to go, and I'm not trying to make your mind up for you. He said, just be aware that if you go through and you decide to move forward with this, we're going to have lawsuits probably for a year or so after this to deal with all of these things. So you just have to ask yourself, do you want to comply with what they're telling you to do, which is to power down your door so that way none of your members' key fobs will work with the door system? Or do you want to go through and continue to fight this? They're giving you until 5 o'clock, close of business today at 5 o'clock, to decide which way you want to go. You don't have to give me an answer right now. Just let me know before the end of business today which way you want to go, and we'll go through and we'll take care of it. I was like, okay. So we got to about 2 o'clock. And I went through just in my head, it's like, and I had calls from our franchisor, which was Snap Fitness, and they're threatening us with canceling our franchise agreement. And I'm telling them, it's like, let me understand this correctly. At one of the conventions that we had, one of the things that you were really pushing was changing lives, helping people get healthier. Now, all of a sudden, you're going through and saying, hey, you have this unconstitutional mandate that says that you have to shut down. So all of that stuff that we said before about trying to make sure that people stay healthy and everything else, that's all just going to go out the window. I was like, no, this is what we need to do. I have people that are in here that are going through physical therapy. They need these machines. I have another who's told me before that if I don't go through these exercises, I'm going to wind up on disability. So these are all things that we have. But what happened was by 2 o'clock that day, I said, all right, this is just too much. I'll go through and power my doors down. And so I called Eric up and said, I'm going to go ahead and power the doors down. I called Snap Fitness up and said, look, we're going to power the doors down. My attorney called the regional police and said, we're going to comply. We'll take care of all that. Apparently, none of that mattered because by 4 o'clock, that day, which was April 9th, they had put these signs on the door. And I'm looking at my cameras outside. I'm like, what are these guys doing? So as soon as they went from the front door to the back door, I went to look at what the sign was. And I'm like, it's like, we're going to chain your doors tomorrow. I'm like, the hell you are. So I ripped the sign off the door, took it over to the police officer, which so there were two that were there, one from the Department of Health and then Alcott, which was the guy from the regional police. And I said, what the hell is this? It's like, we've said that we're going to comply and we're powering our doors down. He's like, and he just starts going off. It's like, it's too late for that. You had a chance to comply. You blew it. We're chaining your doors. And I'm like, And then, I mean, talk about escalating a situation. Then I'm like, the hell with you. It's like, I'm staying in here. You want to chain my doors? You're going to chain me with them inside. You're going to chain those doors with me inside. Because that's when I really started just getting more emotional. And
well, it goes back to what we were saying earlier. Like, everything was about to be done in the manner that they want. What that the escalation makes absolutely no sense. Why did they have to push it that way? It's just, they were bloodthirsty is what it sounds like to me.
Yeah,
when I hear this story.
Yep, that's exactly what I was saying. And I went through and I said, look, you can see that they're powered down. There's no power to this because they had like a little red light on them showing that they had power. There's no power to the door. So nobody's access cards are going to work on that. And Alcott just like went off. It's like, no, we are going to do this. You had your chance. It's like, it's not even 5 o'clock. We already called you guys and said we're going to go through this. No, it's too late. And then I'm like, go screw yourselves. And then at that point I was like, nope, I'm staying in here. And then the whole thing is, then you go towards these things. Like, it's like, well, Gandhi had a hunger strike. I'm going to do a hunger strike. I'm just going to stay in here forever. And I'm going to make my point through a hunger strike. Unfortunately, my hunger strike lasted about 4 days because I have protein shakes, I have protein bars, all of those things that are in there. And so I'm like, I'm not eating, and I'm not getting any press on it. My instructors, the one that I had mentioned before, had contacted several different news outlets and they're like, no, we have no interest in this whatsoever. They chained the door. Okay, big deal. We don't care.
They're still doing that today, by the way. Local media is useless.
Yeah. And so then my whole little hunger strike turned out that the only thing I was doing was I was worrying my instructors more than anything else. So it's like
about your well-being. And
yeah. Because they're like, are you okay? I'm like, I'm fine. It's like, I'm in here. It's like, I'm not worried about anything. I have exercise mats that are here that I can lay on. I have other stuff that I can make for pillows. I have yoga blankets. I can use those for blankets. So I said, don't worry about me. But they would, I mean, it was just like every day, how are you doing? It's like, I'm fine. Don't worry about me. So yeah, after like 4 days, I'm like, okay, fine. I will start eating. And I snapped a picture to him of like all my protein wrappers that were from the protein bars, the protein wrappers that were there, the protein shakes and things like that. He's like, okay, look, don't worry about it. I'm eating. But then I go through and it's like, okay, what's my end game in this whole thing? Because I'm not getting any media coverage. Now, on April 10th, which is the day that they came out to chain the doors up, one of my members was like, you need to call this one radio station because they will talk to you. I'm like, okay. So I called them up as the police were all like around the front doors. And I was talking to them because they said they were going to chain the doors up at like, I forget what it was, 9 a.m. or something like that. And his radio show is only on till 9 a.m. I think that's what it was. So I'm on the phone with them and I'm like, yep, they said they're going to chain the doors. They're all outside. They're kind of meandering around. They haven't chained the doors up yet. And then after he was off the air, then they went through and chained the doors up. Whether they were listening to his radio program or not, I don't remember. But he was like one of the bigger names that was out there.
So how long did you wind up basically being chained in the gym? And how did it come to an end?
So one of the things that happened after they had chained the doors, and so another interesting part with them chaining the doors is you can see on the videos that I had posted out there, they chained the doors, they're shoulder to shoulder with each other, the head of the consumer protection and the guy from the Department of Health, shoulder to shoulder, sitting there chaining the doors, no masks on or anything else. And then, as you mentioned, after they got all the doors chained with them and like four police cars that were out there and like eight police officers all elbow bumping themselves together and everything else, and then sitting there taking pictures of the chains and everything else. The police, the chief of police, or was he chief? I don't remember. It was Malone or Maloney had called and said, hey, just want to make sure that you're okay. And you do have that emergency door that's over there. So that one's not chained. And if you run into any sort of problems, you can always give us a call. Just let us know. And I'm thinking, well, why would I have any sort of issues or anything else? Why would I ever need to call you? And so after about 14 days, it was like 14 days or 15 wow. days, I was like, all right, this I'm not getting anywhere with this. I'm just going to go out through the emergency door and then I'll figure out other things to do. So I go out through the emergency door, which I had members when we had the police at the different doors, I would allow them to go out through the emergency door. This is before all of the chaining, so that way they could go out. So I knew that emergency door had worked perfectly fine. There were no issues with it. But I go to open it, and it's not moving. And I'm like, and there's no way to chain it because there's no knob on the outside or anything else. It's completely flat. And I'm like, well, this is weird. So I called one of my members who had helped me with other things before. I said, hey, do me a favor, come over to the club and see if you can see anything on the outside of this door that's preventing it from opening up. And so he came over and he's like, oh, yeah. And I'm on the phone with him. He's like, yeah, he said, I'm over here and we're looking at the door. And he's like, yeah, he said, I don't see anything. Oh, I see what they did. They put an L bracket on the bottom of the door to prevent it from opening up. And my thought on that is, it's like, okay, would they be able to get me if I called them and said, hey, you know what, I'm having an issue getting this emergency door open. Do they then go through and say, well, now we can find you because you have an emergency door that's non-functional? Because they're the only ones that know that they put the little L bracket on there. That was the other thing that was interesting is when I was going through the camera footage, I saw them over by that door, like hunched down, but never thought anything of it because it's like, well, they can't do anything with that door anyway. Mm-hmm. But apparently that's what they had done through there. And then my member went there and was like, yeah, he said, it's nothing that's difficult. He said, I just need a screwdriver. He said, I don't have a screwdriver on me. Let me go home and go get a screwdriver. And then he wound up taking it off. And then I was able to get out through that way. And then we set it up so that he also brought a little suction cup thing, so we could put that on the door, and then that way I could continue to go in and out. Because by this point, Snap had already gone through and said, we're terminating your franchise agreement. And then I had been spending those 14 or 15 days going through, taking all the Snap markings off of all of the walls, taking all of the stripes that were around there, and then going through changing the colors, sanding things down, which I just created a complete mess in there. Accidentally broke one of my TVs as I was not taking it down, but I walked out and tapped it, and of course it went down and broke after I'd spent all that time being so careful with it. But that's one of the things that I've been doing with my time over those 14 or 15 days. But then that enabled me to be able to go in and out, but still leave everything the way that it was before. Because they had told me before, if you cut the chains on that door, we're going to charge you with, and I can't remember, I think they said disorderly conduct. We're going to charge you with disorderly conduct if you, or destroying public property or something. I forget what it was, but then we can charge you with that. And I think that was their whole thing. It's like, we just want to charge you with something. We know that all this other stuff mm-hmm. is illegal. And that's one of the things that my lawyer said, because I said, well, I have members who are saying, hey, we're just going to come and we're going to cut the chains on there. And I asked my lawyer, are they allowed to do that? And he's like, no, I said, because they've already said if those chains are cut, they're coming after you for it. It's like, okay, but if I'm inside, how could I cut the chains? Somebody else would have to cut the chains. He said, well, I said, they could say that you organized it and things like that. He said, so then they would have something they'd be able to actually go after. He said, right now, they have nothing that they can go after you with. He said, but if you do these actions, then they could come after you. Even though it's in response to something that they did that's illegal, now you doing something against that, they could come after you for that. That's insane. Yeah.
And a part of the ending of the story that we'll get to here is, much later, you eventually have all of these citations thrown out. The courts completely agree with you that they never could have done any of this. It was all wrong. It makes me curious, with that having been like the final outcome, you won, you were right, and they were wrong. If it had gone in that direction and there was more that came out of it because, say, you cut the locks, could that all have gone away? You know what I mean? Like, you get into this, it's just so punitive in how they want to come after you just because you were letting, you said like 10 or 15 members come in and work out. It's crazy.
Yeah. And it just seems like they go through and say, well, we're going to break the law to do this. But then if you counter what we're doing that's illegal and you do that, well, now that's illegal and we can come after you for that because now you've actually mm-hmm. broken the law. All these other things, we know that you really haven't broken the law, but we're going to write you up for them anyway. That was one of the other things that was interesting is when they had put that orange sign on the door, and I had challenged him. Alcott had gone through and said, you've already been written up for 3 citations, da da da, so on and so forth. And my lawyer had gone in because I never signed any sort of citation. They never gave me any citation. It's like, so these things are non-existent. My lawyer went in and looked in the system and he's like, no, there's no citations written against you. It's like, so, and it wasn't until about a month afterwards in like May, I think March, April, May, maybe even June, that they actually went through and filed the citations. So it was that much longer ago. They had also written 2 of my members up for citations who had come out through that emergency door before and chased them down to the end of the building to go through and say, well, we need all of your information. We may or we may not give you a citation. They didn't have any citations at that point either. They waited until May or maybe middle of June, something like that, to actually go through and file those citations, which were, once the courts opened and we were able to take them to the courts, it took my lawyer about 15 seconds to present things to the court, and the judge just said, no, this is all unconstitutional, and it's all thrown out, my citations and then the ones that they had written against my members as well.
So just all wiped clean. You never could have done any of this. You just did it. They just say, hey, we're going to do this.
Yep.
Wild. Yeah. So then we never got through, how did the chains come off and how did you eventually, you know, reopen the gym for normal operations?
Yeah. And that was kind of interesting because as I'm sitting there, because I'm waiting for paint to dry as I'm going through and doing all this stuff, I'm just looking for other things to do. So I was on Facebook and I saw that one of my members, because let me back up just a little bit. I had tried to join this one group called Reopen Pennsylvania and never got accepted into the group. But I'm on there and I see one of my members has signed up for this Reopen Bucks group. And I'm like, oh, well, that's interesting. And so I start going through and I start looking at the Reopen Bucks stuff and da-da-da-da. And I can't remember if I had joined it prior to that, but at some point I'm going through and I'm looking at all the posts that are there and I see this orange sign on there. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, that looks just like the sign they put on my door.
Yeah.
It's like, and I start reading. I'm like, that is my sign. That is a sign that's my gym. And then somebody put on there, it's like, well, that doesn't look like it's a real sign because it looks like it was put together by a third grader. and I'm sitting there like, and somebody put, is it, it may be just the owner trying to get sympathy for his business. And I'm like, no, it's not. It was put out by them. It's the Department of Health. Yes, it does look by it like it's done by a third grader, but that kind of gives you an idea as the mentality of the people that are in there. And I still have all of the videos that are on here. So I'll go through and I'll post all of those videos. So that's what I did is I think I went through and I said, I'll put a link on our website to the videos that are there. And then I'm like, well, screw that. I don't even have to put it on our website. I can just give you the links on YouTube and put those out there. And so I posted those and then those started getting a bunch of hits on them as they were on there. And then it was like, I don't know, 2 or 3 days later, I guess then they started getting a little bit of heat from the people that saw them chaining the doors up. And they came out like 2 or 3 days later and took the chains off the doors.
And my recollection of the story is, again, we didn't start Reopen Bucks until the first week of May. Didn't really learn, you know, put together who you were and that you were here in the gym until a couple weeks later when you joined. So once you joined and that story started to slip out, it was, I mean, that was a huge deal. Everything that happened to you was a really big deal. But when you were going through it, like I said at the start of this, there was no Reopen movement yet. There wasn't really an army ready to. So it's just, it's interesting that not only were they very bloodthirsty when they thought they could bully you, but then, okay, as soon as you're taking a bunch of heat because this is getting out to the public that you did this crazy thing. I think also by May, the public opinion had really shifted by then. And it was starting to be like, okay, guys, like we're going to have to follow some set of laws here if we're going to continue to play this game. So then, of course, they walk it all back when they realize it's a political nightmare. It's just frustrating, Carl. Yep. It's so frustrating. Yeah. So where are you today? And I mean, actually, let's end that with, okay, they take the chains off. You get, you know, the place together, probably spend a couple weeks and reopen. I recall very vividly one post you made in the group in middle of August, I think, where you basically announced victory. You had gone to court that day. Eric Winter had made the arguments. In like literally a few minutes, the judge just threw everything out, giving you that big, here's how it went. So that was awesome. And that was a really big and popular post in the group. Again, it's August of 2020. You know, things are still kind of getting crazy with schools and all of this other stuff. So it was nice that you were vindicated in what you did. What does it look like moving forward in terms of, you know, the legal picture and everything that was done? Are there any outstanding lawsuits against you or your lawsuits against them, anything like that?
Yeah, so we still have the opportunity to go out and file against the Department of Health, Consumer Protection, and Regional Police. And so at a certain point, I'll have to go through and consult with my attorney again. It's like, okay, do we move forward with this or not? Because now one of the other ones that we could move forward with is against Snap Fitness. But my attorney went through and said, well, all of these fitness places are announcing bankruptcy. So yeah, we could go after them for damages. And the damages were like just under $1 million in damages based on the length of time that was remaining on the franchise agreement, so on and so forth. But what my attorney said is, if they declare bankruptcy, which is what we're seeing with all these other fitness places, if they declare bankruptcy, and even if you win, where are you in the pecking order of things? Yeah, are you going to get a dollar for what you're awarded, or are you going to get pennies on the dollar? And if you get pennies on the dollar, is that going to be enough to pay your legal fees? So you really have to decide, do you want to pursue this or not? So that's one that's probably not going to move forward, unless, of course, Snap decides that they still want to come after me. Because even after we won our lawsuit, it was probably about 2 months later, they sent me a letter saying, hey, we're going to come in and take over your club. And I'm like,
that's cute.
You're going to what? So I sent that to my lawyer, again, Eric. And he basically sent them a thing back saying, yeah, no, you're not. Because their justification was, hey, you were written 3 citations and therefore you were in violation of the law. And Eric basically went back and said, no, because I told you from the very beginning he wasn't in violation of the law, so therefore he wasn't in violation of your franchise agreement. And if you cancel his franchise agreement, then you are I forget what the legal term is for it, but basically you're violating the franchise agreement. So, right. So therefore, you have nothing to stand on, and we can come after you because you've terminated this for nothing legal. And once he sent that over to him, we haven't heard anything from him since then. So we'll see how all of that progresses. But basically what happened was by June 1st, we were able to get new door systems set up and get everything else set so we were ready to go through and open. And June 1st said, okay, you want to come back in? Come back in and we'll get you all set back up again. And nice. The members that were there before, come back in. You'll still have all of the pricing that you had before and you'll still retain everything that you had there.
I remember picking up a membership at that time. And I like that you reopened June 1st. We didn't go green until the end of that month, like June 26th. So not only did you, you know, do everything you did in April, but you even like reopened earlier than you were supposed to. I mean, doing the right thing all the way through.
Yeah.
So that's awesome.
Yeah. And now one of the other things, because in the very beginning, I felt like I was standing alone by myself because I mentioned before this one person, when we put the blog post out there from Eric on the front door, the one person going through in one of the Perks here, Penridge pages, going through and saying, oh, he's posted a manifesto out there. And it's like, it's not a manifesto, it's just a blog post. And then just using terminology. But I felt like I was standing alone. Once we opened in June, one of the things that really, I mean, really pulled at my heartstrings was one of my members coming in and saying, I want to pay for my bonus plan, which is basically you can buy like 6 or 12 months upfront, and then you get a certain number of months for free. And I told her, I was like, you're not up for like another 4 months or so. And she said, I know. She said, but I want to help out however I can. And I was like, well, don't worry about it. We'll do just fine. We don't need that. No. I insist. Here's the check. I'm leaving. It's like, okay. So, I mean, so that was just something that I finally felt like, I mean, besides the Reopen Bucks group, that I had people that were actually like standing behind me. And it's like,
you were inspiring people. Yeah. You led the way.
So yeah, but it was just a far different feeling than the very beginning where I just felt like, I'm here by and I shouldn't say by myself because I had the support of my instructors that were there as well. Right. So they would always be going through and it's like, we got you. What do you need? Let us know, anything like that. And then certain members that were like, hey, we got you and everything else as well. But that was just one act that I just, it's like, you don't have to do this. No. I want to do this. And it's like, all right, thanks.
I mean, it shows you how much it made a real big difference in that time frame, like May, June, into the summer of 2020, for people to feel like they had their tribe, right? They had places that they could go where they could just feel like they're not a criminal because they want to lift some weights. I mean, that's a very simple thing about living in a free society that was ripped away.
Yep.
So, I mean, it's a wild story, Carl. I'm glad we got it down. Like I said, I've been looking forward to this one for a while. I definitely want to end by asking you, how can anybody out there find Park Club Fitness?
Yeah, so we have a website, which is parkclubfitness.com. And then we have Facebook pages that are out there. There's an Instagram that's out there. If you do a search on gyms and Percocet, we tend to come up in like the top one or two that are in there as well. And then has a link to the website as well. And you want to get a membership, we have staffed hours, 10 a.m. to 8 p.m. Monday through Thursday, and 10 to 3 Friday and Saturday, and 11 to 2 on Sunday. So just come on in, and we'll give you a tour of the fitness center, the studio, and answer any questions you may have. And now you'll see. So one of the other things that we also did during this time that kind of reinforced me was going through and supporting groups that I felt were getting a message out there, which was a message that I always stood behind, which was for places like PragerU and Heritage Foundation and Hillsdale College. So all of those different places and going through and supporting those and then putting their literature out there in the club as well. It's like, if you're looking for a place to support for our conservative type of ideas, these are places that you can go to. So it was something that I had never really gone on a political side one way or the other. But at this point, I'm like, you know what? This is my stand and this is where we're going. If you like it, great. Love to have you as a member. If you don't, there's other clubs that are out there for you. And then we also started putting our other patriotic signs around and things like that as well, because it's like we're going in that direction and we're not going to go through. You're not going to walk in and wonder, it's like, I wonder where these guys stand on mandates and all of this other stuff. It's very clear.
What you did should be commemorated. There should be like a plaque near the door when people come in to commemorate the stand you took, you know?
Yeah. Well, I've kept the orange sign that was on the front door. I've kept the citations and other things like that. So that is one of the things that I do plan on doing, is at some point I will put all of those together in like a little box frame, so they can all be in there and get an ideas to the stuff that we wound up going through during that time period.
I love it. Well, thank you for everything you did, not just with standing long before Reopen came along, but for being a member of Reopen Bucks and everything that you've done since joining the group, reopening, running this place the way you have. And thanks so much for joining me today. It's been great.
And again, thanks for having me.